Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
We've been talking about the Holy Spirit and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We talked about the love of God last week, the agape love. The love is the fruit of the Spirit. Now, this is the character of the Holy Spirit. This is the character of God, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, self-control. Those are all the character of God. And those are developed over time. See, to have a gift with no character to steward that gift can be dangerous. And it's destructive to the body of Christ. Because if you don't have the character to steward that gift, you can end up causing a lot of people a lot of heartache and divisions and problems. So that's the idea. We want to make sure that the love of God, this character is being developed in our life so we can steward the gift that God has given us. Because the gifts and callings are what? Irrevocable. They can't change. So this love we looked at, there's four types of love in the Greek language. Remember, Eros was the first one, and it's a self-gratifying, and it's mainly focused on sexual appetite, sexual desire. This Eros love is really not even in the Bible. It's not in the Scripture. But it's focused on you. It's self-gratifying, and it's all about fulfilling that appetite of your sexual desire. And it doesn't have any boundaries. It just wants what it wants when it wants it. And within the boundaries of marriage, sex is a beautiful thing. But outside the boundaries of marriage, it will destroy you and it will torment you. It will bring a lot of heartache in your life. So you want to make sure and be aware that this Eros love is something you've got control over. Okay, this other love is philia. That's mutual friendship. That's, you know, relationship, compatibility. You know, you found a person you're, you know, filial love, you're compatible with. And so it's relationship. Okay, and then there's storge, and that's family love. And, you know, father and son, mother and daughter, that's storge, or brother and sister. And so that love is for the family. Then there's the God kind of love. That's the agape love. And that's the love that God wants to develop in all of us. And that's the love that He's called and created you for. And that's the love He has. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. That love is the agape love. And the agape love is the one He's trying to develop in you. In other words, He loved us in our sinful state and mess we're in, no matter where we were, no matter what, He still loved us, right? And that's the way we're to be towards people. That's the idea. We're to love people regardless of how they're treating us, where they are, right? No matter what. And that's the love He's trying to develop in us. It's called lovability. That's the ability to love when they're not loving you. And there's no motive. I'm just going to love you anyways. And that's the love He's trying to develop in us. That's the love that will fulfill the plan and purpose of God. So go with me to Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now, the Holy Spirit is in us, and He's working to develop the character of Christ in us. That's what we got to understand. Because if you're a born-again believer, the Holy Spirit is in you. So today we're talking about the love of God to steward those gifts, to steward everything that God has called us to. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. And this is the agape love. Now, in Romans chapter 5 and verse 3, it says this. But we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produces perseverance. And perseverance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint because the love of God is being poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. You see that? God is trying to pour out the Holy Spirit in every area of our life. He wants to permeate every area of the love of God in every area of our finances, our relationships, our physical health, every area. That's the love of God he's trying to develop in every one of our lives because it gives God glory. Now catch this, but we glory in tribulations. Remember, what's that word glory? When I read that the first time, I thought, what is this? This is years ago. We glory in tribulation. Glory means what? What God originated and intended. So what God originally intended comes through what? Tribulations. Tribulations means trouble. Anybody been in any trouble? Any trouble in your life? Trouble produces perseverance. Nowhere else in the Bible do you find where perseverance is produced. It comes through tribulations. And remember, the word tribulation is taken from the word tribulum, which was a farming instrument that separated the grain, the wheat, from the chaff. And it was this big wooden pointed farming instrument that separated all the wheat from the chaff. And the good, the fruit, would be separated and then they would burn the chaff. That's what a tribulation is. That's what it's taken from. God is separating those things that don't belong in our life with trouble. See, trouble has it's a purpose in our life. But we don't like trouble. When trouble comes, we want to quit. And that's what we got to understand. The trouble has come to bring out the glory of God in our life and produce perseverance. Because you're not going to fulfill the will of God without this perseverance. And the love of God can't be poured out in your heart without perseverance. So we're going to talk about perseverance today and how it develops us. Everybody say perseverance. Perseverance is a consistent, high-quality effort in spite of the opposition. Some people can perform consistently as long as the conditions are amiable and accommodating. Amiable means pleasant. As long as it's pleasant and accommodating, we can persevere. But when it gets a little turbulent and it gets a little tough and things are really coming out of the woodwork, we want to quit. We want to go hide and we want to go do our own thing. There's no perseverance in that. Real perseverance can perform consistently in any condition. Any condition. And you know what it's demonstrating? Love. Love. By hanging in there and not giving up, you're demonstrating the love of God. At some point in time, every one of us in our lives is going to require perseverance. Perseverance is a combination of patience, effort, and endurance, which at times could be years of waiting. When you possess perseverance, you will remain strong no matter what comes your way. Someone said, if it's good, it's worth waiting for. If you are going to fulfill what you were called and created for, it will require more than just waiting. It's going to require perseverance. A lot of people are willing to try, but few have the desire or willingness to persevere. We live in a society and we are addicted to instant gratification. We want what we want now and we want it yesterday. James 1:4 says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Let patience have its perfect work that you may be complete, lacking nothing. You see that? When you go through a trial, there's patience. That word patience is the word hupomeno, which is the same word for perseverance in the Greek culture. So they're close, but their perseverance is the long haul. Perseverance is always going to cost you something. When we put forth the effort to accomplish our goals and we don't see immediate results, we want to quit and say, it must just not have been meant to be. That right there will keep you from really what you're longing for. In Galatians 6:9, it says this, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Some translations say if you do not quit or if you don't faint. So in other words, he's saying in your doing good, Don't just get tired and grow weary and give up and quit. You keep on doing, and your season is coming. There are seasons in this walk with God. Now, in Psalms chapter 1, it says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful, for his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. For he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, and whose leaf will not wither, and whatever he does will prosper." You see, God says that you're blessed when you have this relationship that abides in his word. You're planted and you're rooted in his word, and you're planted by rivers of living water. You see what that's going to do? It's going to produce fruit in its season. And we're like trees. The Bible calls us trees of righteousness. We are to be planted in God's word by the rivers of living water. Jesus said, "Let him who thirsts come to me and drink, for out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." When you are planted, life of living water is going to come out of you. You're going to be like a tree planted, and you're going to produce fruit, and fruit is for other people. Apple trees don't eat their own apples. It's for other people. And a tree is a picture of perseverance. Okay? You go plant a tree, the sun's going to beat down on it. It's going to storm. High winds are going to come. Snow is going to come. All kinds of seasons that tree is going to go through before it produces fruit. That's a picture of perseverance. That's the way it is in our life. We're going to go through all kinds of seasons until we begin to really produce the fruit that God has called us to. The other night, I went to my son's house. They had a birthday party for me, and I'm 54 and got so much more. But I was at my son's house for the birthday party. And I'll tell you what, it was off the chart. I just love being with my kids and, you know, I just love it. We got to the end of the night, and my granddaughter, Zeta, says, "Daddy, I want Papa to put me to bed." I love that. I'll tell you, that just blesses my soul. And so, you know, she goes, "Let's get a book, Papa, and you can put me to bed." Because I used to read books to her all the time. So she gets a book, you know, Dora, and she says, "Here, Papa, let me see the book." And she's reading the book. She read the whole book. 6 years old. I used to do all the reading. Now she's reading. Oh, man, things are changing. She says, "Okay, now let's pray, Papa." She goes, "I want you to pray for so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so." And she says, "And I'll pray for Mommy, because Mommy's pregnant, and Mommy's getting ready to have another baby, little boy, next 2 weeks. So I'm going to have a grandson." So she prayed, and we prayed together. And then she goes, "Papa, Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart." And I'm listening. She says, "Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life." I said, "What?" I mean, you know, I could feel God's presence. And then she said, "A merry heart does good like medicine." What? This is coming out. Nobody said, "Tell me your scripture." Nobody solicited nothing. This started coming out. I could feel this. But you know where my mind went? My mind went to when I would put my kids to bed and I would read the scriptures to them and put it in their heart and teach them. And now my son is doing the same thing to his kids. You see, that's fruit. And then I was on my way home and I started weeping and I was thinking, how many times did I want to just give up and quit? But now I'm eating. Are you with me? It is worth everything you got to go through. And now I got another one coming. So I can't wait for that. Are you with me? This is life, folks. We have this idea of we'll try anything once. It's kind of like this try once syndrome. We'll go work out and then we go look in the mirror and there's no guns and we quit. Or, you know, we get on this diet and we eat certain things and, you know, we still got the booty do. And we want to quit. We don't stay with it. You see, that's the way we approach spiritual things. Well, I prayed and I didn't get what I wanted, so I'm not going to keep doing it. Well, you know, we got financial problems. I tithe. I'm going to tithe once. And everything didn't all fall out of heaven all over you. And so you quit. I'm going to tell you something. You got to persevere. You got to persevere in those things, in prayer and tithing and all spiritual things, just like you do otherwise. Am I making sense? So we got to get rid of this trying once syndrome. Business conditions have changed considerably from what they were 2 years ago. Perseverance finds a way to keep on performing when others are calling it quits. When you refuse to quit and are willing to pay the price of perseverance, your season will come in due season. When you are willing to pay the price of perseverance, it will show up in your life. Because in due season, the Bible talks about there is a season for everything. God works in seasons. Now, say this with me. Devotion. Devotion. Discipline. Discipline. Duty. Duty. Devotion is what your love is. That's your object of your love, what you're devoted to. Our devotion should only be on God and God alone. Nothing else. Second, discipline. It's going to take discipline to keep your devotion on God. It's going to take discipline to maintain your devotion to God. Without your discipline, you won't stay devoted to God. Something else will get your devotion. Devotion, discipline, duty. What's duty? Duty is the service and function for the well-being of others. That is your duty. That's why you're here. The service and function and well-being of others. That's your duty. That's why you stay devoted, and that's why you keep yourself disciplined, because it's not about me. It's about others. It's about your children, your grandchildren, people in your family, people in your church, people you work with. That's why you have devotion. That's your devotion. You're devoted to God, and you're going to stay disciplined, and you're going to do your duty. Your duty is not what you want to do. Your duty is what you ought to do. All right, now let's look at this. Devotion. Matthew 22, 37 says, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's everything. He wants your undivided attention. He wants you to love him. This is the agape love. This is the love the fruit of the Spirit is developing. In Exodus 23, he says, you shall have no other gods before him. See, everything wants your devotion. What you're devoted to is what you love. Some of you love sex. Some of you love money. Some of you just love doing what you want to do. You have idols. We have idols. And an idol gets your love, it gets your service, and it gets your obedience. Whatever you think about the most, there it is. That's what you love. What you think about the most. If it's money, if you're always worried about money, you're always worried or dreaming dreams how to make more money. Oh, you just always think about how to make more money. Dreaming. There it is. Well, you think about money, you're anxious and worried about it all the time. You're serving it. See, if the enemy don't give you abundance of it, he'll give you not enough and a lack of it, so you worry. So you're always worried about money. See, that's your God. That's what you love. Because you think that gives you significance, and you think that gives you security. But you know what? Tithing breaks that. When you tithe, that demonstrates your love for God. That demonstrates your heart. And it removes worry and anxiety. And it removes this always daydreaming, God to give you wisdom for what you need to take care of business. Am I making sense? Because when you don't discipline yourself in that area, there's a big hole there for the enemy to get in and create a mess in your life. Devotion. In Luke 12, 15, it says, take heed and beware of covetousness. Covetousness is greed. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Now, isn't it something Jesus said, beware and take heed? Why? Of covetousness. You know, covetousness, this word covetousness is taken from the word covenantal. And a covenantal promise was to a king. And you served that king with your whole life. And that's what that's saying. When you are in covetousness, this is what you're going to serve. This is what you're serving. He says, beware and take heed of this greed. Because it will consume you and you will serve it. Because listen, this right here is subtle. That's why Jesus said, beware. Take heed. He doesn't say, beware, take heed that you don't commit adultery. You see, when you're in bed with somebody else's wife or somebody else's husband, you know it. You don't need somebody to tell you, beware, I take heed. You know. You premeditated that in the beginning. That's the way that works. But now this thing on money and greed, it slithers in there, and a lot of people think they don't have that problem, when really that's a big problem in their life. I know I'm doing a little preaching today, but folks, I'm trying to help you. Do I have it all? No, but I'm here to tell you, this is sex. Sex is a major problem outside of marriage. Pornography, it's $1 trillion, trillions of dollars now. It's gone beyond billions. Now it's on the internet. That becomes your God, and it'll control you and it'll destroy you. What you think about the most, there it is. That's your God. That's what you're devoted to, and that's what you're demonstrating of love is. And you know what? That's what you're going to affect your kids with. That's what your grandkids are going to be affected with, and that's what your kids are going to be infected with. What your devotion is to. You're demonstrating it. Do they have to see it? They don't even have to see it. That's why Jesus said, I sanctify myself that you also may be sanctified. In other words, because he set himself apart for God, the people who were close to him were set apart for God. You see, well, they'll never see it. They'll never know. They don't know what we're doing. Oh, it don't matter. It's spiritual. It gets transacted spiritually. Come on now, am I making sense? Can you see in the spirit? No. That's why it's spiritual. What you do does matter. What you're devoted to does matter. Our devotion should be to God and God alone. Discipline. Proverbs 25:28 says, whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city with broken down walls. When you enter a city, and it says you are now entering the city limits, that means there are limitations to your behavior when you come into this area. When you've pulled in here, now there are boundaries and limitations to how you behave and how you conduct yourself, because you are in a place where there's orders been established. And if you get outside those limits and outside those bounds, you are subject to the law. That's what that sign's there for. And you know what's the same way in the spiritual realm? When you don't have any rule over your spirit, there's no limitations. And the enemy can get in there and he can bring anything in there to destroy your life. Am I making sense? That's why our devotion has to be towards God and the Holy Spirit. And now our spirit is going to have some control. That's why it says in Proverbs 29:18, where there's no vision, the people perish. The word perish means lack of self-control, lack of discipline. Where there's no focus, when you don't have a focus and you're devoted to something, there's lack of self-discipline and lack of self-control. That's what that's saying. My translation says, where there's no revelation, the people cast off restraint. Revelation and vision are synonymous. No restraint, anything goes. So where there's no vision, there's no, you're not devoted and focused on something, it brings chaos. And that's what happens. But when you're devoted, it brings order and restraints to your life. Where there is revelation, where there is vision, it brings discipline and self-control in your life. It brings restraints. It does the opposite. Because it's from God. Am I making sense? Our current economic crisis is the result of personal spending out of control. Many of our physical problems we incur in our health are brought on by bad choices and personal habits that are out of control. Problems in our relationships are the results of our emotions and our response to our emotions out of control. You see, God is the owner, and he is the owner of it all. We are just here to manage. And the Holy Spirit is trying to get you under control of the Holy Spirit. Discipline is how we need to manage ourselves. There are a lot of gifted and talented people, but few have the discipline to manage themselves. How many times do we read of this one and that one who were so successful but have fallen from his or her achievements? It happens not because their gifts or talents betrayed them. It happens because they betrayed themselves. Your gifts and talents aren't going to betray you. You betray yourself because you had no discipline. Duty. This word, duty, is often used and applied to officers who are under authority and obligated to carry out a task, regardless of the risks. This word is often used and applied to officers who are under authority and obligated to carry out a task, regardless of the risk. You know what, folks? That's the way it is with us. We are under God's authority, and we should be willing to lay down our lives for our duty. And what's our duty? The service and function in the lives and well-being of others. Duty is not what we want to do, it's what we ought to do. You will not be able to fulfill your duty and assignment without discipline. Duty is your service and function in the lives and well-being of others. There may be moments when quitting looks good, but I need to keep it in my mind that it's not about me. But it's my duty, my service, my purpose, and my function in the lives and well-being of others. That's my duty. You know, the other morning, I woke up Monday morning, and you know, I didn't feel like going to the CrossFit gym for nothing. I woke up, I thought, man, I don't want to go there today. I was just exhausted. I did a funeral. I just had a week just full. And I woke up, and it was 5:30, time to go to the gym, to the workout. I didn't want to go. I thought, man, I just want to sleep in. But you know what? You know what came up in my heart? Devotion, discipline, duty. And then I could see my little grandson, see myself holding my grandson, and I had a little video going on in my head. I jumped up out of that bed, put them shorts on. I was almost the first one there. And I tore it up. You understand what I'm saying? That's love right there. That's all it is, folks. I'm going to tell you something. You're going to have to be disciplined. You know what? Temptation is coming at from every direction. There's all kinds of things tempting you. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For after he's been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who what? Love him. You see, when you really love him, temptation's not going to tear you down all the time. You're not going to be yielding to it. Your love is demonstrated in that. See, we're talking about the love now. See, this affects every area of our life. And that's what the Holy Spirit's doing. John 13:35 says this, "By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." Disciples taken from the word discipline. Philippians chapter 2 says this, "Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each of you esteem others better than himself. Let each of you not only look out for your own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." You see, it's about other people, and that's what your love is for. And it's going to bring devotion, discipline, and duty in your life when you really are walking in love. This word love is big, and this is what God is developing, people. This is where the church is growing. And this is where the church is healthy, is where this love is being demonstrated. And that's what we want to be here. Amen.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service times are Saturday evenings at 7 p.m., Sunday mornings at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at www.russellroadchurch.com. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete. Be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.